Well, this morning, before we read the Lord's Word, I'm going to ask you to remember with us, Eddie. How's Jensen? How's doing? Better? Okay, we went to see Eddie. Eddie is the wife of Jensen, and she was quite ill, dangerously ill. So she was in ICU for a while. And, you know, in times like that, my suggestion is, I mean, you might be concerned, don't visit. The best way of caring is don't visit people who are in ICU. Okay, no matter how healthy you may think you are, you know, you don't know what you are carrying, and it can affect a person. Okay, the best thing to do is just simply to pray. We're just glad that, you know, that she's responding. And let's pray that the Lord will see her through. Again here, all these challenges of life just remind us to us, you don't know when you're going to need the Lord in your life. And so the question and the challenge would be, would you be ready? So very often our prayers are desperate ones. Now, that is a possible way to go, but it's not the best way to go. The greater way, the more correct way, is to find its strength. That's what we're going to try and learn this morning as we face life's many, many challenges. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, this morning we pray for those who are unwell in hospital right now. We think of Annie, and we think of Mr. Fu as well. And I pray that you will help them to learn the lessons that you want them to learn. And help those of us who are caring and concerned for them learn the lessons that we ought to learn as well. And pray that you will teach us how to read your word and to apply the truth of your word into our own life personally. Refresh us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you know, I had this thought when I was in hospital many times, many years ago. If I can't help going to hospital, if I can't help going through surgery, I want to learn the lessons that I need to learn when I go through them. There must be some lessons along the way that we can and must learn. Right? And there was no other way for us to learn it except through surgery. Well, let might as well learn. If I'm going to go through pain, make sure that I learn the lessons that came with pain and make sure that I learn them well. This year, we began with a thought and a whole series on the idea of strength in God, strength from God. Psalm 71, verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And there have been many challenges along the way already. Is Titus out of hospital being home? Okay. Well, Titus was in for a while and, you know, they couldn't figure out what he was. And he's out of hospital, meningitis out, right? Okay, this is still in. He's here. Where are you, Titus? Oh, okay, good to see you. Well, I'm glad you're here. He's all dressed up warmly. Glad to see you. Well, he was in hospital, he didn't expect it, he didn't know what hit him, and he came down with meningitis. You see, you don't know when. It could be a young man like him in school, and he can come down with something serious like that. Or we can grow older, which we expect, right? Well, or sometimes when you don't even expect it, it can hit you and hit you hard. What lessons can we learn from these experiences? Now, Psalm 18, 50 verses. That's too long to cover it in just half an hour. Right? So we're not going to even attempt that. So I'm going to share with you how to read the first three verses. And these three verses actually help us to understand the rest of the 47 verses. The first three verses encapsulates what David experienced recorded in verses 4 to 50. You can read for yourself, and you can be sure that it's that it's true. Right? Now, there were many, many dangers that were there. There were problems with enemies. There was near-death experience. There was distress felt. There was emotional upheaval. You name it, he's faced it. Right? So that is for verses 4 to 50. Question, what did he learn from it? As I said, if we're going to go through tough experiences, we might as well figure out what lessons we are to learn from it, single out the most important lessons, and then add on. What was the first lesson that he learned? Now, we're talking about strength. The very first thought that he went through, that he experienced, was this: I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Right? So we begin to learn, how do we find that strength in God? How do you acquire the strength? How do you find the strength to go on with life and many challenges? Right? For those of us who are going through a rough time, and as we look at age creeping up, and then, you know, we make all kinds of funny, tired jokes. Engine old car, decrepit, half dead, and things like that. I mean, that's how you look at life, you know. It may be funny, but it's very dark humor. Try something else different, something else better. Well, this is what we are looking at. The first lesson that stood out to David was this: I will love you, O Lord, my strength. So when he thought about the Lord, he associated him with strength immediately. And that's what it is. Now, I think it is timely for me to speak about strength. Right? You know, when we used to say, we look at people who are older, we say, well, those above 60. Then we begin to realize, half the congregation above 60. So then we say, well, maybe 65. So Chinese New Year coming, 65 and above. And you begin to realize that, you know, the number of people who will sign up for 65 and above would be over 100 people. Now, many people don't associate the idea of strength with old age. But what if that is a good way of associating life, age, with strength? That was the first thought, the first lesson he had. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I'm 68. Strength is possible. To those of you who are younger, don't look at age as merely a number. It's a sign of decay. Nope, strength. But I like this imagery that is being. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The first thought when he thought about the Lord was my strength. Right? The name of the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital, is very often what we call a covenantal name of God for Israel. But for David, it was strength. And that's how it should be. When we think about the Lord, what do we think about? Next word. Word association. If I use the word Lord, what's your next word? What's your response? Ask David. Strength. And he will tell you what his character is like, what his personality is like, what type of person he really is. Think of the word Lord. Strength comes to mind. That's how it should be. So as we begin this year, we're going to India this evening. As we face India, they have got kind of over 500 people coming for their camp. What is the word that we are going to bring to them to teach them how to love the Lord? Exactly what it is. Right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6:5. Reply of David, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And when you have found strength in the Lord, it's not easy, not hard to say you learn to love the Lord. That is what we need. Right? So the challenge is to discover the Lord in a fresh, new way. How do we find the Lord? First three verses only.
Now watch the next part of it. So he works on the idea, I will love you, O Lord. Then he says, the Lord. Now you have a whole series of words. Imagery. Everyone a strong one. I like this idea. Now, I don't know why people think of God and then you think of weakness, you know, where you have to cry out to the Lord, it need. Of course we do. But the imagery that David chose for himself was a whole series of very strong things. Look at that. The Lord, mentioning the Lord's name, the Lord is my rock, strength, my deliverer, my fortress. Can you see? You see the whole idea? The first set of imagery, rock, fortress, deliverer. Again here, mention. Okay, David, if I mention the word Lord, what would you come up with next? And his answer would be rock, fortress, deliverer. Same idea of strength. See, there has to be a consistency. If we are going to find the Lord as our strength, it has got to be so associated with us that we see it and this strength is there. The Lord is my strength. But to begin with, rock, deliverer, fortress, all imagery, every imagery is that of strength. Let's try again. David, think of God now. Look at the next part of this. My God. Can you see this? Straight away the word strength comes back, and then shield, horn of my salvation, stronghold. So you ask him three times, and he will come up with the same answer of strength throughout. That's how it should be when we think about relating to God. So with God is not just a comfortable idea. You know, a lot of people think of God as a pillow upon whom you can rest your head. How about strength instead? Can you see this? So the first word, think Lord, David, and he would say, my strength. Think Lord again, and a rock, deliverer, fortress. Okay, now David, change a different word. God, what do you have? Strength comes back again as the first word. And that is how to read Psalm 18. You will find the Lord's strength in every part of it. Read Psalm 18 and you will see, we'll talk about these things here. So when he faced death, we read in verse 4, right? The pangs of death surrounded me. Floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. Snares of death confronted me. What did I do? He called upon the Lord. But when he called upon the Lord, what was he thinking about? Strength, deliverer, rock, fortress, stronghold, horn, salvation. You see how it applies? See, so if we have a weak imagery, a weak understanding of God, then you'll find that our faith in God doesn't help us at all. That's why some people say call religion as an opiate. Oh, you know, it's for the weak people. It's like opium that makes you weak. That's not what it was meant to be. Our faith in God makes us strong, not weak. That's a wrong idea. And you have a whole lot of stuff written against people who believe in God because you think that people who believe in God are essentially weak people. No, they're not. God wants to make them strong. That is the challenge of it all. So the first three verses gives us glimpses of what David actually experienced about God. You see, sometimes we ask ourselves, how does strength come? Strength comes not because the circumstances are easy. But strength comes in adversity. You don't know how strong you are till you are confronted with problems and difficulties, and then you call upon the Lord to find that strength. This is why the psalmist says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. There is a difference between the human strength and the divine strength. This is why God said to Paul that his strength is made perfect in weakness. So essentially, we have just so much strength and no more. But when we take a look at the strength of the Lord given to us, it will be something that we can learn. So that all this imagery that be used by David become true to us. The Lord is going to be there for us. Let's take a look at some of the things that he mentioned in Psalm 18. Let's take a look. All right? In verse 17, the enemy, my strong enemy, those who hated me, too strong for me. What happened? He says, the Lord was with me. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me. There we go. My deliverer. You see? So that's how he wrote it, my deliverer. And then he went on to talk about how the Lord was there. Okay? Verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. Word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. There we go. See, the application of real life. The discovery of strength is what we are talking about. Faith in God was meant to be lived out. It's meant to be proven. It's meant to be tested. It is meant to be in the circumstances of our life. And we wonder how we can cope. And we find it when we attempt these things. Look at verse 31, 32. Who is God except my Lord, except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? And then he talked, it is God who arms me with strength. Well, there we go. Strength again. That's how he discovered it. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. You see the whole reality of it all? So don't be afraid of the tough times you may be in. Maybe there is a prospect of a job loss. Maybe there is a problem of health issues coming up. Maybe there are challenges and difficulties in your life. Whatever. What's the answer? Go back to Psalm 18. Let the Lord be your strength. Discover the Lord as your shield, horn of your salvation, as your deliverer. And that is something that we need to look at. Look at verse 35. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Right? Your right hand has held me up. Well, that's what we... Verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. How wonderful it is to experience the reality of our faith in God. So what's the option? Weakness. What's the option? A loss of faith. What's the option? We get defeated. We don't have to take that option. But the challenge is to find that reality. So faith in God is the reality waiting to be discovered. And we need to understand how this can work out. There are going to be many, many challenges along the way. Suan mentioned the father is having leukemia. All right, so what are we looking at? It's going to be a tough road ahead. All right, it's a chronic leukemic problem, and it is high grade. What do we do? There we go. The Lord must become our strength. But see, David can testify of what he needs, what he's experienced in his life. And our challenge is to find the reality for our own self. Now, there are three things that we could really look at doing, following David properly. Looking at the first three verses again. Right? Number three things that we can do. And they all are given to us very clearly. I will, verse 1. Verse 2, I will. Verse 3, I will. You see, when God reveals to himself to us as our strength, as our horn, as the deliverer, there must be some kind of appropriate response on our part. Where we go, we see the Lord's word, and it's very, very clear what we need to do. Let's tell the Lord, I will love you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the first of all the commandments, the greatest of all the commandments in the language of Matthew 22, Mark chapter 12, is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and he added, with all your mind. You got to understand this, with all your strength. Right? This is the best and the most appropriate response to God. We love the Lord. And he says, I will love the Lord. Not that he doesn't love the Lord already, but he wants to learn how to love the Lord better with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. That's what he meant when he said, I will love you, O Lord. When was the last time we actually told the Lord that we loved him? Seldom. The words of love seem so hard to come by, especially with reference to the Lord. And yet, it was something that the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter. Peter, do you love me? And Peter had to say yes. Then he asked again, do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. So the Lord this morning were to say to you, do you love me? What's your reply? What's your response? Can you say, I will love you, O Lord? Can you say, I will love you, O Lord, my strength? And I want to say this morning, though I'm known of people who are not quite 68 and they're tired, I'm not. The Lord is my strength. I'm going to go with the pastoral team to India. Please do not think that missions work is only for the young. They need the old guy to be there. They need the old guy to show the way. They need the old guy to be there to say, this is what we're going to do. That's how we respond, right? I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Can we seek to deepen our love for the Lord? If he gives us the strength, if we seek the strength, can we say that? I will love you, O Lord, my strength. This is the first and the greatest of all the commandments. There are hundreds of commandments. This is the foremost top one. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. How can we make that our response? You see, because sometimes the Lord gives us a strength, we don't have an appropriate response. But that relationship of love for God and the love with God is the most wonderful, is the most appropriate, is the greatest thing we could ever have. Every year of our faith in the Lord should see us learn to love the Lord even more. You know, when young people fall in love, they say, let's grow old together. And they just grow old, that's it. Yes. And sometimes when they say, dear, 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 all the time, you know why? Because they've forgotten their names. So sometimes that happens, and we all know it. Hello, dear. What is his name? What's her name? Now, of course, you don't dare to admit that. But you see, the sense of love that we have for the Lord is something that should challenge us as we begin 2018. Yes, let's ask for the strength. But what is our response to the strength that God will give? Let there be, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. First response. Second response. Consider this. Now, he has a whole lot of stuff going on. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. Right? What's the second response? See, the first response is appropriate, but it doesn't cover everything. The second challenge is to learn how to trust the Lord, in whom I will trust. To love and to trust, not exactly the same. They should incorporate both together, but they are actually separate ideas. And it is not easy to speak of trust. And that's something that we all need to do. And that is something that we never take for granted. When we go to India, my seat is always next to the driver, never at the back. You know, people ask me why. Over in the hotel, people ask me, open the door. I say, no, I'm sitting in front. And after a while, they got to know. And people ask me why. Because in India, you don't know when you're going to get killed. Right? You never know who is going to hit you. So I always tell myself, if I'm going to die, I want to know who killed me and what killed me. So I sit in the front. Why? How do I begin each day? I go to ministry. I go armed in Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Do I trust a driver? No. Do I trust the road conditions? No. Do I trust what is it? No. I trust the Lord. I am going to trust the Lord for everything that I am going to experience. You go on a highway, and then suddenly it's meant to be one way, and a lorry is coming. Why are you on a... Don't ask question. Ela. You know, you got to turn to the side, and you all know how to do it. Never tell the driver how to drive. He will create more accidents. And they drive by the feel of it. The road signs are for fun. They are to decorate the roads. They are colorblind. They don't know what is red, what is green. They're all the same. And no policeman, let's go. And everybody does the same thing, you know. You learn lessons of trust. The best way to learn about trust is India. Is that true, Vanity? Well, she was in India for a while. You know, you're going to lay there. Wow. Your life in the Lord's hands every day. Right? I had an injection done during the week, and the lady who was giving me the injection was an Indian nurse. So I told her I was going to India. And she held the needle in her hand. What? India? I said, you're from Tamil Nadu. She said, yes. How come you know? I know. The looks are the same. And why you go to India? How many times you go? I go to India more times in a year than she has in the last 30 years. And she asked, really? How can you do that? There's so many problems there. In God we trust. That's the whole idea. Of course, in America, they have this epithet. Dollar sign says, in God we trust. You, cash. That is the difference. So when we take a look at this whole idea of trusting the Lord, it is not as easy as... The only way to exercise that trust is to actually do it. Trust. That's why he says, I will trust. Were there moments of fear? Yes. Were there moments of anxiety? Yes. Why? Because trust is never a complete thing. It will come. Feelings, fears, worries, distress, they will hit you. No question about it. You don't know when, how, but they will hit you. Suddenly the enemy comes very strong. Sometimes it's near death. Sometimes there are plots. You don't know what to do. What's the best thing to do? Establish, Lord, I will love you, O Lord. Secondly, I will trust in whom I will trust. Trust the Lord for His strength. Trust the Lord for His deliverance. Trust the Lord for His, you know, that He is the horn of our salvation, our stronghold. There's no other way. Got to learn how to trust. And many of us trust at the level of salvation. Stop. But we don't know how to trust anything else. You have to exercise that trust all the way. And the only way to deepen this trust in God is to allow ourselves to experience whatever the Lord allows us to experience and to exercise two things. First, love. Second, trust. That's important. That's how Job felt, right? He says, though he slays me, I will trust him. And not easy words to say, and yet it must be attempted. Now, where's the third one? Let's consider this. The third one is found in verse 3. I will call upon the Lord. And this is where prayer comes in. This is where we call upon the Lord, and that's what we need to do. There will be situations where there will be tough times. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we are going to trust the Lord. We have to learn how to call upon the Lord. Right now, we have got a Pines 2 group. And yesterday, we gave 50 new Bibles to all the Pines 2. That's 50 people. So we have a photograph there for everyone. And then we learn to pray for them. Call upon the Lord. You don't know what they're going to go through. You don't know what they're going to face. You don't know whether they're going to quit their faith. We don't know how they're going to respond. But we will teach them how to love the Lord. We will teach them how to trust the Lord. We will teach them how to call upon the Lord as well. But first, you practice it. I will call upon the Lord. When was the last time we really call upon the Lord? How do we call upon the Lord? Remember, we began pre-worship, that He is worthy of worship. Well, that's what He's saying here. He is worthy to be praised. So let's call upon the Lord, but let's not call upon the Lord in fear, in trembling, in anxiety. Let's call upon the Lord as one who is worthy to be praised. That's how we want to seriously consider calling upon the Lord. Coming week, sometimes I ask myself, there are thoughts will come. Can I still go on missions trip? All right? So I constantly, well, again and again, you ask yourself, what is it? 68 and counting. What will it be like this year? Many trips. But I only gave to the pastoral team, the program for the next 6 months. And I could feel and hear the silence in the whole class. Everybody cannot respond. Well, this is the way to respond. You know how we, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. There we go. First thought. Right? In whom I will trust. Second thought. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. That is the good response. That's how it should be. Take a look at how David did this in Psalm 18. I mean, that's very obvious. Look at the idea of calling upon the Lord. Look at verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. There we go. See, that's what we mean by calling upon the Lord. Not just to say, help. Remember, He is worthy to be praised. Let me call upon the Lord for help, yes, but in the next breath, let me say, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Isn't it wonderful? You see, this is what we are looking at as we take a look at how the Lord, this is important. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. Sets me on my high places. This is Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. Habakkuk will one day pick up the words of David. Right? We're talking about how, even though, he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the fields yield no fruit, and the stalls be empty. Wow. He says, the Lord is my strength. How wonderful this thought is. He makes my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. This is Habakkuk 3:19. This is exactly what we see. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, Habakkuk. Now, when we think about how what a deer is like, this deer can climb out those high hills there with such sense of certainty, with courage. It's just there. Right? Unfortunately, the people down there take their hair and make them into shawl and sell it to ladies. Pashmina. That shawl, for every shawl, a lot of the deer will have to die. So, but they take a look at these things here. But this is what it is. How the Lord makes us our feet like deer's feet. How should we call upon the Lord? With confidence. Praise Him even as we call upon the Lord. How wonderful it is to be able to to read these words and to be challenged to understand what strength is. Will God give us strength as we ask Him? Yes. But what is our response to the strength that He gives? Let there be love within our heart. I will love you. Blessed the Lord, right? I will love you, O Lord, my strength. In whom I will trust. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And I think that that response is something that we need to consider with all our hearts. So let there be strength, but let there be appropriate response to God for all the strength that He has promised that He will give to us. How wonderful it is to read in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, right? That those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What's our response to that promise? I will love you, O Lord. Right? I will, in whom I will trust. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Let this year begin on these notes of challenges to our hearts. Will the Lord give us His strength? With all my heart, I believe, yes. My concern is not that God will not give us strength. My concern is that we don't know how to love Him better. We don't know how to trust Him more. We don't know how to call upon Him as we should. That must be our focus and our challenge. Well, let's pray together. This morning, as we pray together, as we worship the Lord, as we listen to His word, can you say to the Lord, I will love you, O Lord, my strength? Just take a moment. Tell the Lord that you love Him for the God that He is. Just tell the Lord. It just take a moment to say, I will love you, O Lord. Number two, can you say in whom I will trust? Will you go deeper in your trust level? The problems are there, the challenges are there, the difficulties are there. What's your response? Trust. Exercise that trust in God. Go deeper. Thirdly, will you make this year a year you will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised? Tell the Lord, Lord, I will call upon you, for you are worthy to be praised. The Lord lives. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Make this your challenge this year. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to begin this year aright, to recognize our need for strength, but also to understand that there are things we need to fulfill. Teach us how to love you more. Teach us how to trust you more deeply. Teach us how to call upon you as one worthy to be praised. And Father, we pray that this year will see us grow even stronger than ever before. And bless, Father, this offering that we give. In Jesus' name.